Ocean FM.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by Ocean FM, the IBA, and funded by Commission Le Mans with the television license fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more information.
You're very welcome to the programme today. Thanks for tuning into this month's episode of Ours to Protect. In our last episode, we looked at some of the really innovative and exciting ways that environmental education is being brought into schools across the Northwest. And I hope that you picked up some of the absolute wonder and infectious enthusiasm from the students that we spoke to. Among other things, this week we're going to be dipping back into the classroom, this time talking to students in Ballinode College in Sligo, as they were taking part in what ended up being a pretty eye-opening workshop on the topic of fast fashion. We'll also take a quick trip to the refill shop, as well as hearing from Áine O'Loughlin, Environment Awareness Officer with Sligo County Council. But before we go on, I'd like to offer a word of congratulations to everyone who took part in the Big Beach Clean last weekend. An incredible 800 volunteers took part across the Northwest this year, and they did amazing work gathering litter from our beaches. Fishing gear, umbrellas, and of course the ubiquitous plastic were some of the items found on our beaches. We've talked a number of times about citizen science on Ours to Protect, and everyone who took part in the beach clean played their part by recording both the quantities and the different types of litter that they found. In turn, that information allows organisations like Clean Coasts, who organise the Big Beach Clean, to shape different awareness campaigns and policies. Today also marks the end of SDG Week, that is UN Sustainable Development Goals Week. And although the SDGs might be something that certain people aim to live by, others might be barely aware of them. Fortunately, I got a bit of a refresher on this at a presentation in Ballinode College. So I'll give you a blast of that.
We kind of are like, yes, I have seen these colourful squares before, but I'm not necessarily sure what they are. Right, these are the UN, the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And these basically were things that the UN came up with almost 10 years ago now, actually, that are goals for the whole world by 2030 to try and have achieved really positive things in all these different areas. So it's no poverty, zero hunger, good health, quality education, gender equality. So it's looking all over the world at ways that we can improve living conditions for people.
The SDGs are a universal call to action to end poverty, protect the planet, and ensure peace and prosperity for everyone by 2030. And who could argue with that? I'll continue with more from the workshop later in the programme, but for now I'm going to let Liam from Ballinode give us a clue as to the topic that we'll be talking about today. There's an extra hint for those who are keen on the SDGs, because this is something that is actually linked with pretty much all 17 of the goals, although most explicitly with SDG 12, Responsible Consumption and Production.
We do have green schools, so every lunch we went around and we had to clean each bin and every bin, and we'd collect it and put it in the skip out the back to recycle them all.
Plastic.
And pass a coffee and a lot.
Coffee cups.
Yeah.
Cook your uppers.
I think it's recycled.
Do you think that causes less waste than bringing your own lunch?
Yeah, because you use paper bags.
Yeah, it was all in a big skip out there at the back, yeah. That goes to recycling.
So to make you think about
how much waste, yeah, a lot.
We're going to talk about lots of different kinds of waste today. And the topics covered might just give us an inkling as to why it's linked to so many of the development goals. Not just how we produce and consume, but how it impacts on the natural world, equality and the lives of people in the global south, and how our economies are functioning or malfunctioning. In fact, waste and how we approach it is at the heart of the concept of circular economy, which is the holy grail of sustainability. We often hear about national targets in relation to waste, recycling targets, how waste streams are reused, and how different kinds of wastes are handled. As it happens, the EU is in the process of drawing up new legislation, which is going to set legally binding targets for two new areas, textile waste and food waste. So I'm going to touch on food waste now, and I'll get to the textiles later on in the programme. When it comes to dealing with food waste, composting is an obvious solution. Creating healthy and useful soil from food just makes a lot of sense. However, Áine O'Loughlin of Sligo County Council explained to me that the very easiest way to create compost is actually from autumn leaves. In a delightfully seasonal turn, she's given communities in the northwest the opportunity to try this out.
Composting is essentially farming the oxygen-loving organisms such as bacteria and fungi and worms, and that breaks down the organic matter into a rich soil-like material, and so with the balance of air and moisture, these natural decomposers, they transform the waste into compost. So the project is a good example of a circular economy in action, and it's transforming local green waste into a valuable resource, supporting biodiversity and reducing landfill. If we have this leaf in landfill, when it starts to decay, it produces methane gas or methane emissions. And methane is a greenhouse gas that's about 80 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So instead, we're returning the carbon into the soil, and with that, we're returning vital nutrients into the soil as well. Craig has been delivering these workshops for the past 4 years, mainly over in the east of the country. Craig has been instrumental in developing the compost industry in Ireland, so he's well briefed, and we're delighted to be bringing him to the west. So he's a wealth of knowledge, and you know, he's happy to talk about composting all day long. So on the online workshop, people were asking him other questions about composting, so there's huge value to that. And as well, a lot of people are using brown bins at home too. So there's a huge focus nationally on segregating our food waste and putting it into the brown bin. The brown bins get taken away and they get made into either compost or used for energy. So again, instead of putting it in the landfill, which is producing methane gas, we're using it to produce valuable product instead. Yeah, so the advantage of the brown bin collection is that you can put meat, fish, bones and your cooked leftovers in there. So there's value of having both compost and a brown bin collection.
And so we move on to the brown bins that seem to be providing a boost to composting rates across the country. These are relatively new to lots of homes here, so you'd have to excuse a few teething problems with how we use them. But not necessary, says Áine. She's full of praise for householders.
Actually, brown bin usage is really good. There's only 5% contamination in brown bins. So for the people that are using the brown bin, they're doing a really good job. So what's found in food bins is often plastic or banana stickers or little bits of packaging that comes with the food. So it's really, really important that that's separated and that just the food waste itself is put in the bin. But overall, it's only a small amount of contamination. It's actually much better than the other bins as well. So in the general bin, there's about a third of it that's correct, but the recycling bin is better. Two-thirds of what's in our recycling bin is correct. So there's definitely room for improvement, both in the recycling and definitely in the general waste.
And what happens to the recycling bin that is not correct?
Well, it contaminates the whole bin then, so often the whole thing is rejected. So often you have a lot of people doing the right thing, but the whole bin can get rejected if a few people do the wrong thing. So it's really important that what goes into the recycling bin is dry and clean. It doesn't have to be perfectly clean. Food needs to be rinsed off and it can just drip dry on the side. It doesn't need to be scrubbed or anything like that. But yeah, we don't want food residue on things. That can affect the rest of the contents in the bin then. I suppose we have recycling rates here in Ireland. Our target is for municipal waste, 50% by this year, and we're at about 41%, so we do have a way to go. And then the target for 2030 is 60%, so it is important that we improve our recycling.
How are we going to get to 50%?
Well, I suppose the deposit return scheme was designed to address this target, because whilst a lot of people were recycling in their homes, not everybody was.
Sometimes people can see the negatives of something before it's put in place, and then actually they adopt it quite quickly and they see the benefits quite quickly. And that was kind of the case with the deposit return scheme.
Yeah, I think it's very normal. I think the human race are a little bit adverse to change. So obviously people have concerns, but I think the deposit return scheme has worked really well. I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, but they've collected a huge number of receptacles in the last year and a half. So I think people have just gotten used to bringing their bottles along and collecting their return. It's part of the process now of going to the shops. And the recent eyeball surveys also show that there's a reduction in cans and bottles that are littered in our environment as well. So the advantage of it is that the quality of the recycling at the end, because it only has a certain number of materials in it, it provides a much higher quality of recycling. And so hopefully we'll be able to recycle this material in Ireland soon.
There have been other benefits that we probably didn't anticipate before the scheme started. So we were speaking about fundraising opportunities, for example.
Yeah, that's it. It's kind of a win-win, isn't it? Because there are lots of sporting clubs around the place and different charities that are using it now for fundraising. And the return deposit scheme do provide orange bins for that purpose as well. So if communities want to avail of this, they can go on their website and order one of the orange bins. So it's great to have at events, and it reduces litter, and it provides an opportunity to segregate your waste at events and raise money for your favourite charity.
While the deposit return scheme clearly is winning in helping us all to recycle plastic, the real win here would be to avoid plastic where there's another option. But in the general scheme of things, plastic packaging seems almost impossible to avoid. For anyone looking to cut down on plastic, there is an option in Sligo Town that can help.
Okay, yeah, so here in Sligo, there's an option for refilling. So you bring your own bottle or container into the shop and you can fill it up with shampoos and conditioners and cleaning products, laundry liquid, but also there's dry foods there as well. So you can bring in any size bottle or container, and then they charge you per weight. So it's really useful. And then there's already some glass containers there that you can use as well. So there's a wide variety of different eco products available.
And so I took a trip to the refill shop to see it in action for myself.
Can I get a refill?
Yeah.
Yeah,
can,
brilliant.
Of course. And just wait first.
Do I need to buy a bigger container then?
So what we do have is we have empty 5 litres. That you can use. We don't charge for them naturally.
Okay.
And you can put as much as you want into it. Like this is what, a 1.5. So if you want 3 litres, you can just put, give or take, 3 litres into that. If you want that bit more, but you don't want the 5 litres. So do you want to fill that up yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just turn around the nozzle and you work away and I'll get the 5 litres.
Now, there are loads of everyday buys here that could be prime for a refill switch. Deodorant, toothpaste, soaps and shampoos, our washing up liquid, floor cleaners, dishwasher tablets and laundry detergent, and even dried foods such as rice, beans or spices. When I was there, the cosmetic counter was under inspection.
If you can bring in your own empties and you can try them out, because sometimes skincare mightn't agree with you.
Yeah,
so you can come in and get 10 mil off it, try it out, see if it works for your skin. Yeah, they are amazing brand. It's actually a brother and sister that set it up a few years ago. They were on Dragon's Den UK and they use a lot of offcuts of the food industry. So like the likes of this, the coffee grounds is repurposed into it, and you have date seeds, there's coffee oil from the repurposed grounds, or powder, you know, so they use a lot of extras from them.
Yes,
diverting waste.
Exactly. And the beauty of it is that you can refill them.
Yeah.
But you have a new system now where you weigh it first, right?
You don't have to wait for it to run out. So you come in, you can have a half empty bottle. People might be in town, you know, maybe once a week or whatever. The bottle is almost finished. They can bring that in. We weigh it, so you're weighing the actual contents in the bottle, and we're going to take that off the overall. It's much better system we've got now. Just took a while to get it in.
Yeah.
And like that too, I know that people is always busy and they might be in town and now we're on the ticket. Drop in your bag to me. Drop in your bag and we can have it ready for you when you're finished. You can be busy in here, you know, you're pumping and that can take up 15 minutes and that's 15 minutes off your hour. Yeah. So.
Other green aware businesses across Sligo are also coming together to look at how they manage their own waste at a commercial level.
So we're running the Green Business Hub in Sligo, and participating businesses are being supported by Waste Expert. So they're working on reducing the amount of waste and improving their waste segregation, and particularly employing a 3-bin solution. So focusing on brown bin waste as well. So we have a number of businesses, mainly in Sligo Town, that are taking part in this over the course of 2025. Sligo Rovers are taking part in a Green Club pilot programme with MyWaste.ie. So actually, MyWaste have a sports club toolkit available online, and they're currently running a series of webinars. There's one happening on September the 23rd and another the following week on the 30th, to help sports clubs reduce waste and improve waste segregation. So, yeah, Jamie Murphy up in Sligo Rovers is doing great work implementing these measures. At the moment, they're relabeling bins, repurposing bins that they already have at the grounds. The idea is not to buy new bins, to use what you have. So they've done an audit of their bins and they are getting new labels printed for their bins, showing what can go into what bin. So again, going back to the mywaste.ie, not everybody knows what goes in what bin. Things have changed, and it's, you know, it's really important to show that. So the labels have different icons indicating what you go in what bin, and it's about positioning the bins as well, so that instead of having general waste bins together and the recycling bin further away, we want the two of them together, so it's just as easy for someone to choose the right bin as it is to put it in the incorrect bin. So they also have a new shed to house a gear swap, and they're purchasing water bottles to cut down on plastic waste. And they're also installing a bottle refill station there. So it's for players during the week, or if there's games on as well. So it'll be positioned close to the AstroTurf and it's just free for anyone to use. We're doing the bottle refill station for them as part of the Green Business Hub. We're kind of expanding it, so we're going to pay for that.
Hopefully those moves by Sligo Rovers might pique the interest of other sports clubs that are interested in improving their environmental footprint. If so, it might be worth looking into the County Council's Community Climate Action Fund, which has supported infrastructure such as water refill stations, biodiversity planting, bike racks and solar panels for many clubs already. Online applications to Sligo County Council are welcome from the end of October, and the closing date for applications will be the 23rd of December. If you get planning now, you could be in the running for becoming a greener club by early next year. Now, we've already heard a lot about plastic today, and you might recall Aga Pivovarczyk, who brought up the issue of plastic pollution from clothing here a few weeks ago. In fact, it seems that this is only one of the problems that stems from the very knotty web of issues connected with how we buy and dispose of clothes. As I discovered at the Fast Fashion Workshop held by Eco-UNESCO's Tim Mack for Transition Year Students in Ballinode College during the week.
How would you describe fast fashion?
Clothes you get fast for cheap prices, like Shein.
I think the longest I've ever done this workshop and somebody hasn't mentioned Shein is about 45 seconds. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Really, really good. So it's clothes you can get really quickly, they're produced really quickly, and it's stuff like this is it, okay.
People work in the workshop there. Like, they're not getting paid enough.
That's a really good answer. Well done. That lots of these clothes are made in places in less economically developed countries. They have really poor labour laws. You're saying sweatshops, yeah? Mm. They're not getting paid a lot. Really, really bad working conditions. Sometimes it's children doing it. They're working for really long hours. So, yeah, really good. This is a big problem with this kind of fast fashion idea. This is the dictionary definition. Cheap clothing. So we've got that. People talk about that. Produced rapidly by mass market retailers in response to the latest trends. So this is what I was talking about, this idea of trends, that trends are things that happen really, really quickly. What we look at when we think about the fashion industry is that there are 52 micro seasons a year. Two micro seasons.
So this is 2 weeks.
Yeah. Every week, people are like, oh, I've got to change my clothes, because there's new trends and new styles and new things coming out. And we'll talk about why, we'll talk about advertising and influencers and Shein and stuff like that, but there are 400% more clothes produced now than 20 years ago. And this actually is a slightly old statistic. This was from like 2002 to 2022 or something, so I think it's even more now. The world's population has not increased by 400%. There's about 100 billion new clothing items made every year. That is a big number. And this one's kind of ridiculous. So 20% of new clothes that are made are already out of fashion before they even reach the shelf or the online marketplace. That because the trends move so quickly, 20% of things are potentially going to be wasted.
The workshop took students through some of the facts about the fashion industry as it currently operates, looking both at the production side and our role and our power as consumers. Tim gave the students a chance to react to and absorb the information in segments across the workshop. Here, the students are discussing some of the problems associated with fast fashion, why these come about.
People see trends like social media and then you kind of follow them and buy some wraps from sweatshops or something.
The people that are buying it, I feel like it's not their fault, because if they see something that's cheaper online, obviously they want to get it because it saves money. Yeah, I'm going to put it as a, people buying it as a root problem.
I say because of like population, a lot of people don't have enough work, so like they get them to sweatshop. They don't get enough sleep and they don't get paid enough. They get sick. Yeah.
The causes are like fashion trends and like influencers, because like influencers like normally like push the fashion trends, and like then like people are like throwing out like clothes from the other fashion trend and then moving on to the next one, and then it's just like a cycle that just keeps repeating. The other problem would be like lack of awareness, because like the less people that are informed, they like want to know like what companies are like, which fashion are that. If it's like made out of cheap material, like they normally go for like the easiest or like cheapest option.
As a root cause, I have the owners, like the managers of the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Say for example Shein, they have like people and that comes to work for them and they pay less than them, and I don't think it's fair on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the root cause, and I'm gonna add that to my list. And they also, I think they also make children work.
Problems are like pollution and like sweatshops and the refuse, because like the landfill of like clothes, there's like too much like clothes being like thrown out.
The workshop session took less than 2 hours, but even in just that time there was a fair bit of jaw-dropping information thrown about. The fashion industry is the second biggest polluter in the world, and it creates 10% of all carbon emissions across the globe in manufacturing and shipping of textiles and products internationally. More pesticides are used in the production of non-organic cotton than for any other crop across the globe, and 2,700 litres of water are needed to produce just one cotton t-shirt. Meanwhile, man-made fabrics are created from plastic, and they are produced by drilling for oil. They are much more difficult to recycle and they generate microplastics. Looking at the waste side of things, fashion generates 92 billion tonnes of waste a year, with the average piece being worn just 10 times. Discarded clothing ends up in landfill, and that leads to chemical and water pollution. Tim also got the students to think about packaging waste generated by our fashion habits, particularly that from online retailers.
Up on the screen, the picture is real. This was someone's. They ordered something from ASOS. Can you see in the picture what they ordered?
The ring.
The ring. And it came with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 separate bags. All of those are plastic bags. All of those are single use and are going to be wasted. What some people say, oh, well, one of those is the return bag. It's to send it back in case you don't want it. When you order things online and you return them and send them back because you don't like it or it doesn't fit or whatever, lots of those things just get thrown away anyway, because it's not worth it for the company to wash it, repackage it, put it back on the website, send it out.
The students used the website goodonyou.eco to check information on their favourite brands and to compare them. The website gives a rating for each brand under three different headings and then gives a lot of other detail about the practices of the company.
Pretty little thing. Popular. Probably pollution as well. Because it comes with a lot of packaging.
Just one small t-shirt, they're going to give you a big bag.
So give me the rating.
Planet, people, animals. Purify for all of them.
It is fast fashion trait, such as on-trend styles and regular new arrival. It uses few eco-friendly materials. It has set a science-based target to reduce greenhouse gas emissions generated from its own operations and supply chain, but there is no evidence it is on track to meet its targets. There is no evidence it minimises textile waste when manufacturing its products.
Everything.
And what do you think
it is? It's eco-friendly, yeah, because they use organic cotton, they use paper packaging.
Planet was 4 out of 5, people was 3 out of 5, and animals was 4 out of 5.
It used medium proportion of lower impact materials, including organic cotton. It uses low impact materials to help limit the chemicals, water and wastewater in its supply chain. It set a science-based target to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in both its direct operations and supply chains, and it claimed on its track.
You did jackpot. What did it say about it?
It doesn't like give a lot of information about its work conditions and other stuff.
and there's not enough like proof that it, Jaco has done anything to stop the hazardous the chemicals and stuff. So it hasn't really tried to improve. 2 out of 5 on a planet, so like for the environment. 1 out of 5 for like people, which is probably the work conditions, which is bad. And 4 out of 5 for animals.
Now, all of this gave the students lots to mull over. And I'm going to wind up the workshop with some of their comments.
Was there anything you found really surprising about
it? Like all the pollution that clothes causes.
Mm-hmm. Most of our clothes are made of like chemicals and all that.
How much they actually use machines to soften their compressed cotton?
16,000 gallons of water per year is a lot of water, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's the second most polluting thing on Earth.
I was surprised by like the amount of chemicals that were being used that could cause diseases like cancer. It was just like shocking how like there's other people like walking with them chemicals and like it's affecting their health and stuff.
Fashion is the second biggest pollution in the world. And also like they're using chemicals that can cause cancer to dye our clothes. That was one of those two things shocked me.
The environment and the work condition that many people have and what they use to make t-shirts, I learned a lot. Yeah.
How much water they use in one t-shirt?
Probably about how most of them is machinery instead of man-made.
The types of fabrics are like very bad for the environment as well, like being used for oils drilling into like the ground, like affecting the ecosystem.
The average amount of water we take for like 2 years. Yeah. It's all that takes to make one shirt. How can they get this much, make this many shirts if it takes a water supply of 2 years to make one shirt?
Not throw them out after you use them. So keep it for like.
Research more about the brand that you buy clothes from.
Like we can like stop fast fashion and like by like thrifting and just like recycling and like turning clothes into like cloths that you can use to clean, throwing out clothes less, like holding on to them more, or like if they're like damaged or anything, just like fix them by like sewing.
I think the one that's not environmentally friendly costs a lot more than the ones that are environmentally friendly, like Jordans and Nike. They cost more than clothes that are actually environmentally friendly. Yeah, like secondhand clothes and other stuff, send you like clothes to like a charity shop and other stuff. Like some people wouldn't want to buy secondhand clothes, they want to buy a new one, buy more. I buy secondhand clothes sometimes. I might start thinking of stopping buying from Nike now. Now I heard of it, because it's like basically not good. It's not good. It's the same planet we're living on. Everyone shares the planet, so like basically one person can pollute it and allow the rest to suffer. So I don't like that stuff.
Instead of just throwing it in the trash, you have to get a black bag and then they can reuse it again.
Recycle the plastic better. Yeah, like telling people about this and like how it affects the planet.
There's clothes that you can make from like bottles, like say out in the sea. You can like recycle them and turn it into a different like better like kind of clothing material. Yeah, you can use that just like to take the plastic out of the ocean. It's just a better solution.
In good news on textiles, Leitrim County Council confirmed this week that clothing banks across the county are coming back into service. Although that's undeniably positive, our fast fashion workshop brings home the point that just as in the case of plastic, that old adage that prevention is better than cure is the one to live by where we possibly can. Teenagers in Sligo are now being offered the opportunity to do just this in a really creative way through the ReLove Fashion competition, which this year has been extended to County Sligo for the very first time. Entrants can let their imaginations run wild while creating their own unique, sustainable fashion piece from pre-loved clothes and textiles. They're going to be learning new skills and can set their creativity alight at the same time. So, to finish off today with a bit of circularity, we're going back to where we started, with one of the very simplest kinds of waste recycling, autumn leaves that can become compost. And first, a reminder that although this really is a simple process, its effects can be substantial. Áine O'Loughlin explained at the start of the programme how diverting these leaves from landfill prevents them from releasing methane gas, which is 80 times stronger than CO2 as a greenhouse gas.
We have 6 communities in Sligo that are taking part in a hands-on project where they're going to build leaf mould composting cages in their community. So it's a simple process that it turns autumn leaves into rich compost. And this is high-quality, weed-free compost. So over the course of a year, they'll have mulch, and over 2 years then they'll have compost, which is better quality than anything you buy in your garden centre. So the community themselves are going to get a visit from Craig Benton, and Craig has been delivering these workshops for the past 4 years, mainly over in the east of the country. So he had an online workshop with the communities involved, and he will facilitate the workshop and build the cages on site. So it's very simple. They're just wire cages, and it's just for leaves. Composting leaves is the simplest way to get compost. All you're doing here is putting the leaves in and keeping them wet. You have to keep it wet. That's the key ingredient. But it's really simple to do. Literally, the most difficult part is actually filling the cages and leaving it. So it's simple, simple, simple. In summer, it does need to be managed, and you do need to wet it. Or in dry spells, you do need to wet it. But yeah, the more rain, the better, because compost won't take place unless you have moisture. Yeah, so there's a lot to consider in terms of choosing an appropriate location. The first one is that it needs to be in a shady area, because we want to retain the moisture in the cages to facilitate the composting. Again, we don't want it to be too open, so that to avoid any abuse. But also, we want it in an area close to the trees that are shedding the leaves, so that we don't have to put in a lot of work moving the bags of leaves to the area for composting. Craig will go through that with communities. Education is really important because it can be abused, I suppose. They do have lids on it. Mm-hmm. We don't want communities coming along and putting the leaves in ad hoc. It needs to be done on a community day, because it does need to be mixed in and it does need to be watered. So Craig actually advises for the leaves to be put in when they're wet, so after a rainy spell or even in the morning with the dew, because we do need the moisture. So it does need to be managed by the community. Education needs to be there. It's useful to share that on WhatsApp groups, so that everybody knows what it's there for and what it's not there for. So it's important that, you know, that other garden waste isn't thrown in there, or we don't want it abused with dog fouling or anything like that either. Craig's built 1,000 cages over the last four years, so he's I suppose seen any of the issues. I think at the beginning they were left open to the elements, but then they were abused. People were dropping their waste into it, their garden waste. Now they're built with lids on them, so the community can open the lids when needs be, but the rest of the time they're closed. So he has learned over the years what works, what doesn't work, but I suppose every community and situation is different. The community groups are there already, and they're doing great work in their tidy towns groups and in their residents association already. So what you're doing is using a waste product, and instead of that getting put into landfill, it's a valuable resource for the community. So there's benefits for the community, and they have that compost, that high quality rich compost. There is a little bit of management with it, but we have been told that the most difficult part is actually filling the cages. So they'll fill the cages over the course of the autumn and leave it there for 2 years. Next year, there's a possibility of condensing 2 cages into 1, and then you'll have some empty cages to start composting the leaves from next year. So you can use it the same as you'd use any high quality compost. So you can use it in your hanging baskets, or for growing your vegetables, or the mulch can be used to keep the weeds down. And people are excited about having something in their community that's going to provide compost, and it's a really simple way of composting. Mm. We provide the advice in the workshop, and with that the materials to build the cages. And after that, then the communities maintain the cages, and Craig is there as well for advice afterwards if need be.
And so, as we wish the communities the best with their new compost, Áine managed to sum up all of the different topics that we touched on today with a single, succinct last piece of advice.
You know, recycling is great and everything, but yeah, not having it in the first place is the ideal. So it's all about, I suppose, keeping things in the loop for as long as possible, and to give things a second and third life. So if we can't reuse it, can we repurpose it? We need to stop producing, using and disposing.
Next week, the Power to Change Climate Action Project is holding an event to celebrate all the ways that different communities here have engaged with climate action over the course of the project. And the next episode of Iris to Protect will look into the great work that's being done in different pockets of the Northwest to see what the rest of us can learn from their experience. That brings me to a reminder to sports and community groups to get thinking about the Community Climate Action Fund in the coming months in preparation for their December deadline. Fashionistas aged 12 to 19 can check out the ReLove Fashion Competition, which is closing for entries next Tuesday. And anyone inspired by our talk of composting today might be interested in a series of theatrical and artistic workshops on soil microorganisms that are going to be taking place in the Organic Centre towards the end of October. Finally, businesses interested in pursuing circular economy initiatives might look instead to Leaders Green Economy Fund, which is offering funding for green startups, circular economy initiatives, renewable energy and green rural enterprises. Expressions of interest were accepted in July, but the deadline for applications, which is the 20th of October, is just around the corner. Hopefully one of those options will float your boat. If not, perhaps just a few small steps towards waste prevention or recycling will be what you'll take from today. And I'd be very happy if that was the case. Iris to Protect will be back on air again on the 26th of October, and that's going to be the final episode in this series. I hope that I'll have your company again then, as we get a peek at the wide and wonderful ways that our communities are greening our world.